With the passing of Fidel Castro, I have come up with a Gaza Corner that is about Cuba and Castro and about Jews and Israel. And I found two articles in today's Haaretz, one which they actually published back in 2015, but they republished it today because of Castro's passing. And they also had another article that featured some comments that Fidel made about Israel that made for interesting reading. Gaza Corner is also going to excerpt a book called An Island Called Home, Returning to Jewish Cuba by Ruth Behar. So I'll be referencing that as well. Back in 2010, Fidel Castro made the kind of waves many did not expect when he did an interview with the Atlantic magazine. Now, the interviewer was Jeffrey Goldberg. Castro stated, quote, "Without a doubt, Israel has a right to exist." And in that interview, according to Goldberg, Fidel expressed great sympathy for persecuted Jews throughout history and even expressed admiration for, get this, Benjamin Netanyahu's father, Ben Zion, who Goldberg described as, quote, "the world's foremost historian of the Spanish Inquisition," unquote. After the interview, Netanyahu was not, he was not president at this time in 2010, but he said, quote, "The remarks attributed to Castro demonstrate his deep understanding of the history of the Jewish people and the state of Israel." When that comment reached the shores of the United States, U.S. politicians were mighty upset. And they pressured Netanyahu to retrace it and to apologize, and Netanyahu did kind of weasel out of his comment. In the same interview, Castro referenced the Holocaust, saying, quote, "Now let's imagine that I were Netanyahu, that I was there and I sat down to reason through the issues facing Israel. I would remember that 6 million Jewish men and women of all ages were exterminated in the concentration camps," unquote. Then Israeli president and recently departed in the heavens, Shimon Peres, who passed away, as I say, about a month ago, praised Castro, saying, quote, "I must confess that your remarks were, in my opinion, unexpected and rife with unique intellectual depth," unquote. To be clear, Fidel Castro has also heavily criticized Israel. For example, when he was 88, just 2 years ago, Castro described Israel's assault on Gaza as a, quote, "new repugnant form of fascism," unquote. Fidel Castro made his comments in a column titled "Palestinian Holocaust in Gaza," and published in an official Cuban party newspaper, quote, "Why does the government of this country," meaning Israel, "think that the world will be impervious to this macabre genocide that is being committed today against the Palestinian people," unquote. Fidel Castro, some speculate, has Jewish ancestors. Ruth Behar, in the book I mentioned, An Island Called Home, Returning to Jewish Cuba, states that Castro's daughter, Alina Fernandez Revuelta, claims that one of Castro's grandfathers was a Jew from Istanbul, Turkey. Behar claims that Castro has said his Jewish identity harks back to the days of the Inquisition, when Spanish Jews took on names like Castro and became conversos, Jewish converts to Catholicism, to escape being burned at the stake. And it makes a little bit more sense now that he studied the Inquisition, perhaps, and came across the writings of Benjamin Netanyahu's father, a historian of the Inquisition. Whatever the case may be, Cuba and Israel have had quite an uneven history. There used to be a bustling Jewish community of 15,000 Jews in Cuba. It developed from the turn of the 20th century until the triumph of Castro in 1959. There were American Jewish expats, Yiddish-speaking Ashkenazi Jews, Sephardic Jews from Cuba who spoke Ladino, and they all thrived in Cuba at that time. But the vast majority of Cuban Jews lost their livelihoods when businesses and properties were expropriated after the revolution. They left Cuba and settled in the U.S., largely in Miami, with other Cuban exiles. Eventually, Cuba broke diplomatic relations with Israel in 1973. Israel always has the U.S.'s back, obviously, and has always voted to support the U.S. embargo on Cuba. Yet, Israel has been a major investor in the Cuban economy. And according to author Ruth Behar, Jews in Cuba suffer no discrimination. In fact, she says the Cuban government goes out of its way to accommodate Jewish needs. Unlike the pre-revolutionary Jewish community of Cuba, which had few converts to Judaism, the post-revolutionary Jewish community is almost exclusively made up of converts. If you check the Haaretz story, there's a link to actually both of them at the Tangents playlist, and I'll also post it at the homepage tomorrow. It reports that while Cuban Jews endure the same depressed economic conditions as other Cubans, the community as a whole is the recipient of largesse most Cubans can only dream of. Behar says, quote, "Going to Cuba to see the Jews who remain is a touristic, anthropological Jewish solidarity mission. Jewish humanitarian missions led by the American Joint Distribution Committee, B'nai B'rith, Chabad, the Jewish Conservative Movement, and many other Jewish American and international Jewish associations have found their way to Cuba," unquote. Their financial support has made a huge difference in the Cuban Jewish community, responsible for renovating synagogues, providing essential services. One example is a synagogue that houses the Jewish community's pharmacy. Twice a week dispenses free medicine supplied by Jewish tourists and aid organizations. Now, healthcare in Cuba is free, but over-the-counter drugs are rationed to ordinary Cubans. According to Behar, the Jewish missions have put in place an impressive educational program to train a new generation of Jewish leaders and community members, which she thinks offers hope that Jews will have a future in Cuba. The Jewish community also enjoys the support of the Cuban government. In fact, President Raul Castro has even attended Hanukkah celebrations. Adela Dwerin, who is president of Beth Shalom and the Jewish community's de facto government liaison in Cuba, was granted regular visits with Alan Gross. Remember Alan Gross? He was the Jewish American contractor who served 5 years in a Cuban prison for espionage charges until his release. So Cuban Jews have a lot of privilege. In fact, the greatest privilege they have is probably their biggest challenge, and that is ordinary Cubans are barred from emigrating without special permission from the government. But since 1992, when the Cuban Constitution was changed to accommodate freedom of religion, Jews have been allowed to leave for Israel. In 2013, for example, 72 Cuban Jews made what's called Aliyah, according to Israel's absorption ministry, which is a large percentage given the size of the Cuban Jewish community. Most of the emigrants in recent years have been Jews in their 20s and 30s, few of whom remain in Cuba. And though emigration continues, there's been a steady influx of converts into the community, mostly Cubans from intermarried families who have discovered their Jewish heritage since the early 1990s. Very few of the 1,500 Cubans, Jewish Cubans, have parents that are both Jewish. The article says only about 20. Even for the few Jews in Cuba who keep kosher, they can. They can receive beef rations instead of pork. A key factor for the future of Cuba's Jewish community is whether Trump will lift the embargo. Personally, I don't see it happening, but we'll see. As long as the embargo remains in place, young Jews will continue to leave Cuba for better economic prospects in Israel. One Cuban Jew concluded, quote, "The old people are going to die, and the young people are making aliyah. There is no future," unquote. Links to various articles that I drew upon to have this commentary is they're posted at the playlist at tangents.com. And it makes sense music-wise to have a Jewish-Cuban connection, and we have that right here with Maurice Elmedioni meeting Roberto Rodriguez. The CD is called Descarga Oriental, The New York Sessions.